things going off in my heart, you know, but the Lord reminded me, he said, remember, he said, I told you the first of the year, he said that this would be a year that things happened that people's been praying for a long time. And I've seen it happen in my own life. Things happening, I mean, this year, you know. But you know what? It's not over. We got a few more months in this year. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I said, yes, Lord. He said, I want you to remind them to be looking, be expecting. Because how many knows that expectation brings a manifestation? And the Bible's very clear on victory. The victory belongs to God's people. I don't care what it is, you know. I was thinking about it, and I thought, well, Lord, victory has come sometimes in my life not the way that I expected it to come. So I learned early off, you know, don't fix a way that I think God will bring victory in nothing. Just trust him and praise him in the storms and let him bring about that victory any way he wants to. But just know that victory is ours. You know, just like, you know, things attacks our body and different things like that, you know. And when the challenges are on, I mean, the Lord's been bringing it to us, the trying of our faith, you know, the testing of our faith, you know. And we have faith in God that we're healed. It'll be tested. We have faith that we're financially secure in him, not necessarily having all the finances, praise God. Well, challenges are going to come. But how many knows victory is promised to everyone that will believe God? I mean, it is promised. I'm talking about, you know, and I tell the Lord all the time, and I have for 20-something years, you know, you daily load me up with benefits, even the God of my salvation, Lord. Lord, you're the one that's going to make me rich and make your people rich and not just me, you know. And, you know, Christians fight being prospering, man. Some of them fight it, you know. They fight it in ways like, well, you know, We only should get our needs met. That's fighting it. He said he's able to do abundantly above, greater than we can think or ask, according to the power that lives in us. He's able to do beyond, above what we think or ask. And I tell the Lord all the time, Lord, I thank you for 120 years. Why? Because the Bible promises me 120 years. So I'm going to say that over my life. Often, praise God, you know. And Abraham, he said, no one's going to say that they made me rich but you, God. I got that out of the Bible. And so that scripture has helped me. That lets me know that victory is sure. And if you follow the life of Abraham and all the patriarchs in the Bible, praise God, they grew stronger and got stronger and stronger, multiplied, got spiritually stronger. They multiplied until some of them were very rich to where even the heathen envied them. And you know what? I mean, you can almost not hear. I mean, it's because I preach it here. I mean, I preach it. I teach it. And I get criticized. I get criticized through emails and different things, you know, and about bragging on money and all of that stuff, and you know. But you know, I don't care. I'm not the one that wrote that Bible. I'm not the one that saved me. I'm not the one that conjured up Revelation. I'm not the one. I didn't come up with that. You didn't come up with that. But see, the Bible says that if we're going to live God, if we're going to we're going to suffer persecution. We're going to be criticized if we're strong in the Lord. We're going to be criticized if we you know, believe God to have plenty, more than enough, abundance, hallelujah, so that we can, you know, do things. I mean, just like I'm out of here, done rent a little place up in somewhere up yonder, gnarly, somewhere, you know, a little cabin. I'm going to fish tomorrow, Johnny. I'm going fishing, praise God. Me and Teresa got you know, but I'm praising God. I didn't even have to save it up. Teresa paid for it. And she told me, she said, and now I'm looking for October. And I'm like, man, you're getting, she said, but now I paid for this and you paid for the next one. And I'm like, well, I don't feel nothing. I don't feel led. Woo, hallelujah. But you know what? It feels good. Why not believe that God will bless you where you can get off and enjoy some time? Where you can have something, you know, you like to enjoy and have the finances to do it. I've knew people that would go on vacation and come back and didn't have no lights on anymore. Hallelujah. You know, that's not a vacation. That's not a blessing. Hallelujah. The blessing is that you go and you're blessed. And, I mean, you don't go off and have to worry that you're not going to have any money when you get back. Victory is already done. And you know what? I'm not going to sit back, and I'm not going to let this church sit back. And when we get to heaven, God say, why didn't you teach them? Why didn't you tell them if they would love me and put me first and honor me, that I would give them a great, fulfilled life to where they would like? No, I'm not going to be guilty when I get there of God saying, you should have taught them where they could have had all these things that I had for them. All they needed was faith. Hallelujah. Challenges. I mean, just like COVID, I took y'all 2 or 3 days. I told Donald, I said, it ain't the big bad monster they make it out, is it? And now, I had it. Thought I had a sinus. But you know what? I was standing against it, no weapons, and we stand against it. And I taught against it, teaching against it now, monkey flu, whatever it is they come up with, they start blasting you with, you know. You get you know, things going on in the world. The world will cause you to get in fear. It'll cause, just like I heard they hired 87,000, you know, people to come audit, got audit people. I'm like, you know what? Go ahead and shoot that arrow, Satan. I don't care if they hire 2 million. I'm not going to respond in fear, hallelujah, ever. Fear is your enemy. Fear of not having enough. Fear of bills not worth. Just like Monty. I know he was, the world says worry wart. He was a worry wart. I mean, I knew it. I knew when he was sweating it. But I can't tell now when he's sweating it. He don't sweat it. Why? He worked on it, but God, and come to the determination that victory was his. Victory is already his. That Satan has to pay him back. I heard it. He's going to pay me back for this attack. Stand on it. Has to pay back 7 times. It works too. Praise God. The Bible is very clear on it. And 2 Corinthians, give me that 2 Corinthians 2:14, Zach, or whatever it is, yeah. Now thanks be unto God, which, how often? Always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. He always causes us to end up in victory. Always, hallelujah. I had this circumstance one time. I went on vacation, was on vacation. You know, I don't carry my phone now. And Teresa tells Travis, only emergency calls. She takes her phone, you know. I don't take a phone. But anyways, I got a phone call while I was on vacation, and this guy wasn't satisfied with garage doors that we had installed and everything. And so I talked to the dude, and I said, well, I'll deal with it when I get back, you know. Well, I went on, you know, and got back, and I called him up, and I said, I'll be there in the morning. And I told him, I said, your concrete's off. There's nothing wrong with those doors. The concrete's off. And he said, nah, he said, it's the doors. They're warped up in the frame, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. So I throw me a good straight 2x4 on there and my little level. And I get up there and I put the 2x4 down there. I told my guys, because I'm telling you this for a reason. This has been years ago, 20, I don't know, a long time ago. And I'm just learning that he works all things together for the good to those that love him. And I'm going up there and I'm saying out loud, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Now I'm hoping that it'll work out like I want it to. That the doors will stay in, the dude will write me a check, and we'll just leave and be happy. Now that's what I was, that's where my expectation was. But I get there and I laid that level, that down there, and that concrete was off 5 or 6 inches from one end of the door to the other. You got to level those doors for them to work right. They got to be level. They won't work right. You can't let them run with the concrete. And so I laid that down there, and that guy still wasn't satisfied. But I told my guys before I left, because I thought, I've got plan B if you don't comply. And so I told them, I said, when I give you the go-ahead like that, I said, that means get out of the truck and go get my doors out and put them in the back of your truck and leave. Now, you're really not supposed to do that once you put them in, you know. But now, at that time, I wasn't real sure about the law. So I'm thinking, you ain't paid for them. They still belong to me. So I'm taking them out, and, you know, God gave me grace. I took those, that dude, what are you doing? I said, I'm taking my doors out. You ain't bought those doors. Those doors belong to me. Unless you pay me, those doors belong to me. And I'm paying my guys now, costing me to take my doors out. So, sir, if you don't mind, back off. So he backed off. We took the doors out. And I told Satan, I said, you know what? I said, Satan, I'm telling you right now, praise God, no weapons formed against me will prosper. Well, it would just, and I'm going down the road, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, your pastor needs the same size doors. And I said, oh, really? So I picked up the phone, and I called my pastor. I said, what size doors is your, he's building his new house. I said, what size doors is your doors? I believe they're, he said, let me go down there and measure them. Come back. He said, they're 9 wide, 8 tall. I said, I'm coming to put them in. He said, I ain't ordered no doors from you. I said, no. I said, you got them. I said, I've already got your doors. So I go and I put the doors in and I sold those doors. I sold them. Praise God. And you know what? You know what? I can buy a bunch of doors today. See, I learned the principle, victory's already mine. I might have to go in a route that don't is not the route that I really want because it looks like it's going to take from me. But you can't obey God in the middle of your trial to do something that looks like it's going to subtract and lose. Because God will give you instruction. He'll give you a word that'll turn things around, praise God. And you know what? I've been blessed for nearly 30 years in the garage door business. I mean, he's took me from one level of faith to another just in that, in healing, in everything. You know, the Lord, I mean, I used to think back yonder, just really unlearned, you know, that going to the doctor was a lack of faith, kind of maybe. And so the Lord told me, he said, I want you to preach, start healing school on Tuesday night. And so I've got challenges in my body and all that stuff, you know. And I mean, people today, they will say, well, when God does this for me, then I can go do for him. That's not how this kingdom works. This kingdom works just being obedient to the Lord in spite of what you think you can't do until he does something, and then maybe that will cause the reaction of doing to happen. But anyways, I'm listening to a guy on healing, you know, just listening to, I'm trying to learn, you know, because I've got to come, I don't know much about it. I don't know a whole lot about it. So I'm listening, you know, and this preacher, he said, did you know that doctors are anointed by the Lord? I thought, well, Mark was a doctor, or Luke was a doctor. Which one? I think it was Luke. Luke was a doctor, you know. I started thinking, well, see, God was doing that and giving me revelation, praise God, starting to give me revelation that he anointed. That hospitals and medicine and doctors are in that field, and they believe God's got them in that field. They believe that is their ministry for the Lord. Hallelujah. It is a natural health ministry anointed by the Lord. And I learned that during healing school. And so it opened up a whole new ball game to my thinking and how I ministered the word of God on healing. I am absolutely not against going to the doctors, but I'm against going to them first. Go to the Lord first. Believe the Lord first. Stand on the Word. Believe the direction of the Lord. Acknowledge the Lord. Let Him direct you. And whatever He tells you to do, do it. That's what you do. That's how victory comes. See, He says He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I was thinking about another incident. I was on the streets of Oneonta. I'll never forget that ministry. I mean, all the ministries the Lord put me in. I absolutely experienced supernatural things that the Lord did in me and around me and for me and to people that I would have never experienced had I not followed the Lord in those ministries. But this one example went down in this dude. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but anyhow, I went down. This guy was backslid on the Lord and owned this store. The Lord told me to go to this store called Alabama Tool Outlet. It was in Oneonta. It's where the Dollar General is beside McDonald's then. And I didn't know. I mean, I'm asking the Lord what to do and where to go, and He told me to go down just impress me on the inside. I could see it. I thought, man, I got to go down there. And so I go down there, and I tell Him I want to preach the gospel on the streets. And He told me no. And I said, no, the Lord said. I said, the Lord said that this is where He wants me to pray. And He said, oh, the Lord said. I said, yeah. He was backslid. I didn't know He was backslid. And the dude that worked for Him used to have a bus ministry down in Pitts, and he was backslid. You know, they were all just out of church, you know, and just walked away from the Lord for whatever the reasons was. And I'm standing here, I'm ignorant of all of it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. And then He says, the Lord said? I said, yeah, the Lord said. He said, well, I guess you're going to preach the gospel out here. He said, are you going to need power? And I said, well, that would be nice if I could plug up some speakers and stuff out on the parking lot. He said, well, every Friday. He said, when are you going to do it? I said, on Friday nights. He said, every Friday night, He said, I'm going to leave that plug on right over there. He said, I don't leave it on. He said, because people come up and steal energy. I got to get that go up, plug stuff up. I don't know. Run drop guards out to their car. I don't know. I said, well, that's fine. Well, this one Friday night, had some couple of ministers there and different things, you know, and I'm all excited, and I mean, things are happening, and I'm letting people sing a song or two, you know, on the street before, and even Tim Green, his they came down there and ministered and sung stuff on the streets down there, but anyways, this particular night, he forgot to leave the power on. See, sure victory. I'm talking about sure victory. I knew God wanted me to be there. I know He wants you to be healed. I know He wants you to be blessed spiritually, physically, financially. I know. In victory, sure. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You know, and so anyways, that guy, one of the preachers, just in the natural, he was just thinking naturally. He said, this is not good. He went and tried to get generators first, you know, run around town. And then he comes back, you know, and I'm setting up everything and getting the lights and all that set up and speakers and different things while he's going to do that. He come back and he said, this is not good. This is going to make you look real bad, your ministry. I said, what is? He said, man, there ain't no generators around. He said, I'll get up there where they come in, and you go over there where they come in. He said, and let's just tell them, we got no power, and we'll see y'all back next Friday night. And just on the inside of me, it rose up and out of my mouth, and I said, He's God without power. He's God without microphones. I said, Jesus preached to multitudes. They heard His voice. I don't know how far. I said, the Holy Spirit will carry my voice. I said, I'm not calling it off. I'm just not going to do it. But God, we're having church. And you know what? I mean, I'm walking to get up on the stage that I had set up with a trailer, and I heard a car squeal, and I looked, and there he come. He lived in Pinson, way down in Pinson. He got all the way home and remembered that he didn't turn the power on. And he drove and hurried all the way back to, you know why he had to hurry? Because I wasn't going home. And my faith and the sure victory was mine. All I had to do was stand my ground, not listen to the negative, not get into thinking, trying to figure it out and worry and get in there and all of that. Just stay in faith. And I didn't really know what I was doing other than, but God, he's God without all that. I hadn't been saved but about 7-8 months. I knew just enough to believe him. I mean, that's all you need. You don't need to know too much to believe God, just the Word of God. The Word of God is all the evidence me and you need to know that we have victory now and in our future. And just like Samantha was talking, you know, and she knows the road she was on. She knows where she was at. She knows where she's been. We all do. And she's only sharing words that she can really come up with, but not really express the gratitude, just her voice of how she feels, I believe, of God and his faithfulness and a good, good father. You know? But she knows. She knows. I know. I've walked the road. You've walked the road that you've been on with Jesus. And you know the times that he's come through. You know the times that you know that you failed him and he didn't fail you. You know the times that you've come short and he's been there and faithful anyway. I mean, and that's the nature of our God, just like the children of Israel. He didn't abandon them. He didn't rain fire out of heaven and scorch them in the desert. He still kept being good to them. He still kept giving them shelter and food and all of that. He was still good to them even then, out from under grace, because he is love. He's love. Well, you know what? That night was one of the best nights that I can recollect having on the streets of Oneonta out of 3 years. The other one was when James Spann said there's thunderstorms coming from Mississippi all the way through Tuscaloosa, and it was pouring down, and it was on a Friday night. And these are just two little ones that were big things. And the Lord reminded me of the story in the Bible where Jesus got up and said, "Peace, be still." Then he got on to the disciples and said, "Why did he?" In other words, he'd been teaching them. He really got on to them a little bit, you know. And the Lord reminded me of that. And he said, "I heard it in here. I ain't never heard an audible voice. It's been like, was that out here or not? But it's in here. He's speaking your spirit." But he said, "Speak to it." I'd heard preachers say that, you know, preachers, but I'd never heard it from on the inside. And I thought, "Ah, man, you know, I'm not Jesus." You know, that my thinking kicking in. I know that I'm powerless without him, then and now. I know that I can't do anything without him. But I know I can do all things through him and in him and by him and because of him. Well, anyways, I get up and I look out that window and I really feel dumb. I mean, I really feel like, man, this is dumb. I mean, it is pouring down rain. I mean, thundering and boom and just, you know, and I spoke to that. I said, "Peace, be still." I said, "I command this thunderstorm to cease." I said, "I'm going to preach the gospel tonight. I'm not calling it off." I get in the van. See, that's what walking by faith means. The storm didn't stop. The rain got harder, actually. The storm seemed to ramp up after I did that, actually. But I went in, got in there, went to a church, got the speakers, put them in the van, drove off Dunia. I couldn't drive over 20 miles an hour all the way from Rosa to Oneonta. You know, and I didn't say anything else because I done got a hold of the scripture. It says, "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, you'll have it." I done learned that, you know, there's power, there's prayers of petition, that there's authority that you're taking. You're not praying asking God. You're taking authority. You're commanding something that's already been done in the Bible, and you've got the faith because of it's in the Bible. And that Bible was all the evidence that I needed. I kept a going. I was amazed that I could feel good on the inside and all that's happening on the outside. I go off into Anayana, and I mean it's still just pouring down rain. And I've got about 12 or 15 minutes. And when I pulled in, I went down Main Street, and I turned left. And when I got on that parking lot, to my recollection, not another drop of water hit that parking lot from the time I pulled on it until about probably 8:10. I watched cars that night come in and park, right, and some of them was their trunk was getting rained on, and the rest of the car wasn't. I mean, I'm looking and I could see the wall of rain around that parking lot. I know what I'm saying tonight is maybe kind of hard to believe. It is up here. But when you see it and you experience it, you're like, miracles do happen. And I'm still convinced here, that was in 1995, and I'm still convinced now in 2022, that He's the same God. He give us the same power. He's give us we got a greater anointing than we had in 1994. Hallelujah. And so, I mean, you know, and then I'm like, when I left there, I got in that van and I left there and I said, God, you're more awesome than I've ever heard preached, God. God, you're more awesome than I thought, God. And God, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. And also, Lord, the fellowship of your death. I want to have the fellowship. Well, you know what that means? Suffering sometimes. See, some Christians has this mentality that we should never go through and suffer anything. Now, I'm not talking about sickness and disease, and I'm not talking about none of that. We're not supposed to be under the power of any of that. We're supposed to be under the power of the Holy Spirit, the healing power, the healing ministry of Jesus. We actually have that power. Mark 16:17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. I'm not scared of the devil. You're not scared of the devil. Had some new folk here one time, and I was talking about, I said, they're going to come off the streets. I was under an anointing. I said, they're going to come off the streets. I said, they're going to be demon-possessed and messed up and all of that stuff, you know. And I said, bless God. I said, we're going to cast the devil out of them. I said, we're going to get them set free. We're going to cast the devil out. Like that, and lady's hand went up. And I normally didn't respond, you know. Let people talk during service and stuff. Normally, I just don't like to do that, you know. And I said, yes, go ahead. Could you let me know when you're going to cast it out? I'm getting out of here. Now, that tells me the ignorance that was in that woman. Just ignorant, or maybe not born again. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But if she was born again, she's never got in there, got taught, and got it rooted and grounded on the inside of her that Satan was stripped of all power, made a show of openly. Jesus triumphed over him and give us power over all the power of the devil. Well, if somebody's demon-possessed, why would we want to be scared of it? Now, my church wasn't. They went to the extreme. Somebody demon-possessed, they just like a herd. They get up and they run up and tackle them right down here, and that devil's coming out. I've seen them tackle them. Like, good God, man, they're going to kill the dude. They hold him down, I guess, before he tears up everything. I don't know. You know. And so I thought, well, maybe I need to get trained in going to that extreme, you know. Hallelujah. So I had this woman one time, you know, come up here and had a spirit of infirmity. Been to all the doctors and things were happening here. People was getting healed. And they're telling people. People didn't come from Georgia. See, when God's moving and things are happening, it'll get spread. I mean, it'll It'll just spread, you know. And Satan, he likes to hinder God's people's faith so that none of these supernatural things are happening in the church or around the church. Well, she couldn't even understand English. They're back there, somebody translating what I was saying to her. Trying to, but I preached faster then than I do now. So they'd just get in what they could, I guess. Well, I got done. They brought the lady up. Brought her up here and said, I said, what's she need? Said, well, that she'd been to the doctor. Maybe they I said, okay, that's fine. I started to lay hands on that lady, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, just don't lay hands on her quickly. So I just stopped, and I'm like, okay, I got to find out what's going on here. You know, so I look on the inside, and I heard the Spirit of God say, it's a spirit of infirmity. That's how come the doctors couldn't find it. Wasn't natural. It attacked that woman's body. She had symptoms. She couldn't go to work. She hadn't worked 3 months. She had been to doctors and doctors and doctors, and they couldn't. They'd run all the tests they could run on her. I didn't know what to do other than pray for healing. But I could have prayed for healing, but that ain't it. It was a spirit behind it. And so all of a sudden when the Lord spoke that to me, I went, glory to God. I just laid my hands on her and I said, spirit of infirmity, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to loose her and let her go. Be free from this spirit of infirmity. That woman left here and I didn't hear nothing about it, but I run into the one at the post office not too long after that and I asked about the lady. I said, how's that lady? Oh, she went back to work. She's been fine ever since that service. She said that was a miracle. She said the doctors and all, what I'm saying here, see, victory, sure, God wanted her healed. God had already set her free, but he needed you. He needs me. He needs hands. He needs voices. Hallelujah. Well, he's got them. It's us. Victory in your spiritual life. She said it. Don't forget your name now, Samantha. You know, there's more than just asking God. You know, God fix my marriage. God, I need finances. God, I need, you know, telling God, thank you, Lord, for all. That's when it goes from Aubrey and him, Papa, buy me another toy, to going in there, Papa, thank you for all the toys you bought me, Papa, and blah, 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 blah. It goes from gimme, gimme, gimme to thankfulness and all of that stuff. That's what that relationship does for as far as spiritually growing. And the Bible says, and she brought it up, you know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's why, you know, getting in the word, meditating on the word will help you to develop spiritually and grow spiritually and absolutely. Whether people believe it or not, a strong spiritual life will help you be strong physically. I mean, it does. It gives energy to your natural body. And then when you're strong spiritually, I mean, it puts you in position to go, you know, to go and obey the Lord. Kind of like, I believe it was Peter, he told him, said, go fishing and catch that fish and pay mine and your taxes. I mean, I bet you Peter thought, what? Are you serious? We're going to catch a fish, look in his mouth, you know, get the, there's going to be money in there. I bet you they'd never thought about looking in a fish's mouth. They were fishermen. And Jesus said, I believe because they were, Jesus just did something like that. I don't know why he did it. But you know what? He went fishing. Sure enough, there was a fish, had money in its mouth or in its belly, whatever. And paid their taxes, hallelujah. I saw that one time for a long time when I went fishing. I thought some big fish swallowed somebody's big fat wallet and it ain't going to have no license or nothing in it. It ain't going to have to turn the money in. But the Lord didn't speak to that fish to come to my boat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Which I never had no faith that it's going to happen. But I did do it. Hey, you never know. But how many knows that victory is ours in our spiritual. You're not always going to feel spiritual. I don't always feel spiritual. Sometimes I don't feel spiritual at all. But how many knows that's why the Bible says that we walk by faith. We don't walk by whether we feel spiritual or not. Now, if we know something's wrong with us spiritually, we don't try to activate faith. There's nothing wrong. That's not the right way to do things. If I know there's something wrong, I need to spend more time with God or, you know, fast or whatever, you know. I mean that's what's going to make me stronger spiritually. I was thinking about fasting today. I was thinking about how that fasting is a humbling of ourselves. It's a humbling of our, there are spiritual things that happen when we decide to make that willing sacrifice towards the Lord in fasting and praying. Try to pray when you're fasting. If you can, listen to preaching. If you can, read. You know, read the Bible. Little pocket testament or something. You know, or whatever. Or, you know, think about the scriptures and say, you know, spend some time. But fasting, I'm telling you right now, it's untold in my life. And in the ministry, the things that have happened that I believe was linked to my sacrificial worship of God through fasting. See, it's a sacrificial worship. It's a type of worship, hallelujah. And I mean, it'll cause you to grow. And you know what? Your flesh will tell you you can't do it. Your flesh will tell you, your flesh will just say, well, I'm just, it ain't, and then Satan will come, well, it don't do no good anyways. You know, you won't see nothing. He'll do everything in his power to get you to yield to the flesh, not to do that sacrificial type worship towards the Lord. But I'm telling you, I honestly believe those miracles on the streets down there, lady being healed, I know it was my obedience, but I'm telling you, I fasted for my ministry 2 and 3 days, sometimes a week. I fasted and sought the Lord, and supernatural things happened. Well, you know what? Other people was told to go do that, and they just couldn't seem to go do it. And I'm out there, you know, and the guy comes, what are you doing? I said, well, I said, the Lord spoke to me to come on the streets. And I mean, the dude starts weeping. He said, God told me 6 months ago to come out here on the streets. And I said, well, God had to send me because you wouldn't, friend. I said, you know, I said, it really wasn't about you. I said, God's got something he wants to do in this town. I said, and he chose you first. I said, but you know what? I was just willing to be obedient. I said, that don't make me super spiritual. I don't even know what I'm doing, man. I said, just repent, and the next time the Lord asks you to do something, just do it. Just go do it. But I believe those supernatural things were happening in part, not one. Fasting don't make miracles happen. No, fasting tunes us up. Fasting humbles our, we humble our flesh. I mean, as the Bible says, humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due season. Jesus said in the scriptures, he said, and when you fast, don't be like the hypocrite. Don't be like them. You know, do it in secret. He's just teaching them. He didn't say, y'all don't never have to fast again because I'm going to die and I'm going to be raised from the dead. Y'all with me, you know. No, he even told them, he said, there'll come a time when I won't be with them. Then they will have to fast and things. You know, and I believe if the church in a whole is not careful, they'll get away from these biblical things that turns out supernatural God kingdom things. Because we're living in a modern world. We're living in a wicked world. We're living in the most dangerous time I've ever seen in my life. People are out there and they're just, you know, coming unglued. We're living in dangerous times. But how many knows we have God's protection? We have God's angels watching over us. We have the favor of God. In the Bible, it don't say, you know, perilous times is going to come and y'all just going to have to take everything, you know. It's going to be bad. He didn't say that. He said, the Bible says that the angels excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of the word of the Lord. You know what voice? That's God's voice, but that's God's voice that he's given us to speak by his spirit. They're hearkening to that, and they're excelling in strength. They protect us. I believe that some people have been going to kill me many times over the years, but they just couldn't do it because I got the protection of God. I believe many of y'all should done be dead. I believe you should done been, you know, they crazy people out there. I mean, just like Teresa Ford got saved, she was thinking, wonder what it'd feel like to kill somebody. I mean, knows that's the money. She gets born again. We talk about it later. And she's like, I can't believe I was thinking that way. I can't believe that. Take an innocent person, inject demonic thoughts, and make it feel feelings, and people's subject to do anything just about it. Subject to do anything, except for us. I was thinking about this. I got to close. I got to get out of here. I was thinking about this today, where Jesus said, and by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have what? Love one for another. He didn't say the casting out devils. He didn't say the miracles. He didn't say nothing. He said, this is how people are going to know that you're my disciples, because you walk in love. Because you have love one toward. I've never really seen a church. Well, I have, the one I come out of. But the way this church is, I've never seen the unitedness in a big scope like this church has. And I know God's done it. I know He's did it. But we've all chose. I guarantee you, if I had each one of you to stand up and testify, have you ever had opportunity to be angry at me or anybody in here? And I guarantee you, just about guarantee you, every one of you could give me more than one example that you have had opportunity to get offended, to get mad. That means not to walk in that love. I've had it. I've not had it lately, praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what? I'm not going to yield to it if I do have the chance. Why? Because my faith is working. Your faith is working. And the Bible says in Galatians 5:6 that faith works by love. Faith is energized by the love walk. And I mean, I've had Christians to tell me before, but you just don't know what they did to me. I can't forgive them. That is not biblical. That is not biblical. What they should say is, I don't feel like forgiving them at all. But the Bible does say that forgive so my heavenly Father can forgive me. And did you know that act, that sacrificial willingness, willingful act of forgiveness to somebody that's done you wrong, comes the grace and the anointing, and you will develop in the love of God. You will. And we can be unmovable. So I want to encourage you. Victory is sure. I mean, I don't care if you're, I mean, teenagers. I mean, they're, you know, believing for cars and stuff like that. They've never heard some of the things. I'd go to revival, man, and they'd be like, and I mean, then when it happened for one, then the other ones that knew, man, they're like, let that brother Scotty, let that preacher pray for you, man, you'll get your car. And they'd be like, pray for me to get a car. I said, that's not how it works. You know, your mama has been praying for your car. I said, do like. I said, God wants you to get you a steering wheel cover. And God wants you to hang it up. God wants you to get something that'll cause you, that'll give you a place of contact of faith towards Him, you know, to get what you desire. I said, it wasn't my praying for them. It was the information that I gave them that caused them to go and believe God. I think Zach got his. Just all of a sudden somebody, I think I'm going to give Zach a truck. I'm like, he's got a steering wheel cover. He had a steering wheel cover, man. They just didn't all of a sudden get this little sweet tooth to go give somebody something. No, he activated something. And God used the vessel. I mean, Nemo's a perfect example. He drove my Cadillac for years. It was my Cadillac. And God says, give it to Nemo. And he didn't normally come on Wednesday night. You know, and I thought, well, bless God, I'm going to take that title tonight. He don't normally come on Wednesday night, praise God. And if it ain't tonight, then I'll know it's not God, and I'm driving my Cadillac. Well, guess who showed up? Nemo! I'm like, God, man. For God's sake, couldn't you lay out tonight? Man, you ain't been here in a month on Wednesdays. And here you are. She come to get it. You know, that wasn't me. That was God orchestrated a thing in my life, and that Cadillac was in part of the deal. But if the Cadillac wasn't even for me, the Cadillac was for Nemo. I'm telling you the honest to God's truth. I'm like, if I'd have had his number, I'd have said, don't come tonight, man. It's going to be not good anointing tonight. I'd have kept him away from here. But you know, it's people activating their faith. They're utilizing their faith, whether it's in your supernatural life, your body, your physical life, your everything. You believe in God. The Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. But you know what the challenge is? The challenge is a lot of times we want to see something before we really activate our faith. But that's backwards from the way God wants us to work. God wants us to believe Him without seeing anything based on the Word, just because we know He loves us, just because He done it from somebody else. Faith comes by hearing. Y'all teenagers, y'all believe in God for a car? Well, Zach got one. Somebody else in here may have got one. I don't know. Got one. I got Harley. That baby got custom pipes and everything on it, too. I'm going down the road, and I'm like, oh. And I'm like, they're high-geared. I didn't know how high-geared Harley's was. She did high-gear. And I thought, I wonder how Jenny would feel on this. I thought, nope, that's the devil. That is the devil. I bind you, devil, right now. You know I love Jenny, and you know I know he likes boxing. But God, I'm riding this Harley for a while, if you don't mind, devil. But who knows? Praise God. So I want to encourage you. You know, you need to have it in your mind that victory is sure. You need to believe it for yourself. You know, I went a long time, and I'm going to close with this. I went a long time, and it was real easy for me to believe for other folk. I mean, it was just like, I mean, I could believe for other folk, but when it come down to me, when it come down to doing it for me, you know, it was a challenge. You know, I mean, I could believe, black God, this weapon ain't going to be formed against them. And I mean, and just have it in here and just, not, you know, encourage them and say, don't give in to it. Like, then it would happen to me, and Teresa would have to be praying in the closet. Are you okay? Are you okay? But you know what? I finally got off of that train and got on the gospel train, the one that took me higher. To where I believed He'd do it for me. I believe He'll bless me. I believe He'll keep me. I believe I'm empowered by Him. You are too. No, it's because you're a preacher. That's gotten what I'm doing tonight has got nothing to do with all those things that I'm talking about. We are Christians. We're baptized in the Lord. Hallelujah. We're baptized in His anointed and His anointed one and His anointing. Praise God. And we can do all things. Let's bow our heads.